Danielle, the floor is yours.
Thank you, operator. Welcome, everyone, to today's CLASP National Women's Law Center audio conference call on the President's Budget Proposal, Opportunities and Challenges for Early Childhood Programs. Today we have a very large number of registered participants, so all lines will be muted during the call. If you would like to ask a question of either Helen Blank or myself, please email your question to dewen@clasp.org. Questions may be submitted at any time during the call. We've already received some questions and we'll try to work them into our initial comments. Today we have myself, Danielle Ewan. I'm the Director of Child Care and Early Education at the Center for Law and Social Policy, and Helen Blank, who is the Director of Leadership and Policy at the National Women's Law Center. We have quite a bit of information to cover in the budget proposal from the President, and we'll be talking about the following areas. We'll give a status update on the economic recovery dollars in ARRA. We'll talk about the HHS budget, and we will be excluding health care proposals such as home visiting because those were not included in the fiscal 2011 budget proposal. We'll talk about food and nutrition programs, some tax investments. We'll talk about the budget from the Department of Education, the Early Learning Challenge Fund, the budget process, and next steps and timing to move forward. Let me first say a few words about ARRA funding. The funds have been available to states for nearly a year. February 17th will be the anniversary of the passage of the bill, and much of the funding has been spent. Several states have already received their grants from the Early Child Advisory Councils, and a number of other states are in the process of submitting applications. However, it is very important that advocates around the country know where their states are in the application process, as those funds are only available from ARRA through September of this year. So we need to make sure that every state gets their Advisory Council grant and moves forward with planning. In the Child Care and Development Block Grant, nearly one quarter of the $2 billion available through ARRA has been expended. The funds are making a difference across the country. Please continue to check our site at clasp.org to track how your state has been spending the dollars and to work with your state administrator to ensure that the ARRA funds are completely spent. National Women's Law Center will be posting a report highlighting how the funds have been used as well. As you know, ARRA funds were one-time only funds available through the end of fiscal year 2010. As a result, the fiscal 2011 budget, which was released on Monday, is an important indicator of next steps for states as they build their early childhood systems. There is much to report across the budget lines for programs that serve low-income children. I'm now going to turn the phone over to Helen Blank from the National Women's Law Center to get us started. Helen?
Thank you, Danielle. Let me just say that your strong advocacy paid off. The majority of funding for the core early childhood programs is in the budget of the Department of Health and Human Services, which includes the Child Care and Development Block Grant as well as Head Start and Early Head Start. The administration's budget proposal makes significant increases in both programs. The budget proposal includes a $1.6 billion increase for the Child Care and Development Block Grant, bringing total funding to $6.644 billion. This would be the largest increase in funding for the program in more than 20 years. The increase would include $800 million in discretionary funds, which are appropriated on an annual basis and do not require a state match, and $800 million in mandatory funds, which do require a state match. Very importantly, the administration proposes to adjust the mandatory funding each year for inflation after FY 2011, resulting in a total increase in mandatory funds of $11 billion over 10 years. The additional funding for CCDBG would also allow for an increase in funding set aside for quality improvement activities up to $373 million from $271 million. $137 million would be for activities to improve the quality of infant and toddler care. That's up from $99.5 million. The set-aside for child care resource and referral and school age activities, which has been the same for years, would be increased to $26 million from $18.9 million. Funding for the Child Care Aware toll-free hotline would remain at $1 million. As part of their effort to improve the quality of the child care subsidy program, HHS proposes new measures of the effectiveness of the program. First, they'll examine how many children are served under federal eligibility rules. Currently, we know that CCDBG serves about 1 in 7 eligible children. But we believe that as more families have lost their jobs and become eligible for help, we expect that we'll be serving a smaller proportion of eligible families. Having updated and reliable data will help with our federal and state advocacy to continue to increase investments in child care. The Child Care Bureau will begin to track states whether and how they're investing in quality rating and improvement systems, which will provide new information on the development and implementation of each state's QRIS. The administration also proposes to use the additional CCDBG funding to support a long overdue reauthorization of the program. According to the official documents that accompanied the budget, the administration's principles for reauthorization include serving more low-income children in safe, healthy, nurturing child care settings that are highly effective in promoting learning, development, and school readiness, supporting parent employment and expanding high-quality choices available to parents across the range of child care settings, minimizing the disruptions to children's development and learning by promoting continuity of care, strengthening accountability in the CCDBG program, and improving coordination of federal early care and education programs through alignment of the program, goals that we have all supported. In addition, in FY 2011, HHS will begin a five-year $19 million study to assess which features of early care and education programs most influence child outcomes and how variations in such program features interact with characteristics of children, families, and communities to produce results. The study will also consider the extent of children's exposure to early care and education settings of different quality. While we are all very excited about the proposed increase in child care, it is important for you to remember that the discretionary and mandatory funds have to move through the congressional process differently, and we will have to work on multiple fronts this year to ensure we get the full $1.6 billion that the President put into the budget for child care subsidies, and we will help you do that. In addition, the budget proposes a $989 million increase for Head Start and Early Head Start for a total of $8.2 billion. Head Start would serve an increase of 66,500 children over fiscal year 2008, and Early Head Start would serve approximately 116,000 infants and toddlers, nearly twice as much as were served in fiscal 2008. This allows for the increased numbers of Head Start and Early Head Start children funded by the American Recovery and Investment Act, ARRA, to continue. It also allows for funding to cover the cost of living increase mandated for Head Start programs and investments in quality and technical assistance to help Head Start programs improve and implement the changes in the 2007 reauthorization. Let's now turn to funding for child nutrition programs, which come out of the Department of Agriculture. They're scheduled to be reauthorized this year. The budget, like last year, proposes a $10 billion increase over 10 years for child nutrition programs, including the Child and Adult Care Food Program, which helps provide meals and snacks to children enrolled in centers, family child care homes, Head Start, after-school programs. There is significant discussion in the budget of the need for programs to focus on preventing childhood obesity and to encourage physical activity in children. We are supporting bills that have already been introduced that will increase access to CICFP, and we urge you to work with your members to co-sponsor the Access to Nutritious Meals Act of 2009, introduced both in the House and Senate. Finally, the budget proposal increases the amount that families earning $115,000 and under can claim through the Child and Dependent Care Tax Credit to help middle-income families. Families earning $85,000 and under would be eligible for a tax credit equal to 35% of child care expenses, with the percentage phasing down to 20% at $115,000. Unfortunately, the credit would not be rate refundable, so families with little or no tax liability could not benefit. The proposal also does not index the credit to inflation, so the impact of the increase would go down over time. We will be looking for and telling you about opportunities to expand the DCTC and enact the President's proposal. Danielle, will you now tell us about the education budget?
I will, Helen, but before I do, we've had a couple questions come in that need some clarification on CCDBG. Can you just address whether anything in the budget changes basic rules we currently have around state match and supplantation?
No, the budget does not have any different rules. The discretionary dollars have always had a supplantation provision that was similar to ARRA. We know as the discussion proceeds around mandatory dollars, there probably will be efforts to create some flexibility around the state match. So stay tuned about that.
Great. Thank you, Helen. I'm going to now talk about the proposed budget for the Department of Education, which grows dramatically. Although when you look at the budget proposal, it is difficult to see where there are direct investments in early childhood programs that are proposed. Most importantly, the President assumes that the Early Learning Challenge Fund will pass this year and will be funded at around $9 billion in mandatory funding over 10 years. The budget assumes that there will be costs during the current fiscal year, which tells us that the administration plans to move forward to develop the application process, rules, and guidance as quickly as possible once the legislation is final. As a quick reminder, the bill has passed the House as part of H.R. 3221, the Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act, or SAFRA, and we are waiting for the Senate to introduce a companion bill, which will then be voted on by both houses and sent to the President. We certainly hope that process will happen very soon. In the meantime, as we're waiting, it's important that you're working with your states to plan for the application process, which means helping to stabilize investments in the early childhood system for children birth to five, moving forward with the planning process for the State Early Child Advisory Committee, and developing a data infrastructure to help track how your state will increase the number of low-income children in higher quality care. The Department of Education's budget also includes funding for the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. The preschool and infant and toddler sections of IDEA were flat funded, which is disappointing given how many of our youngest children need early intervention services but currently are not receiving them. Yet overall, the education budget is designed to reflect the administration's focus on education reform. It proposes a $3 billion increase in overall funding through the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, known as ESEA, or the No Child Left Behind Act. It consolidates existing programs and priorities into 9 new sections, which will be focused on things like student success, college completion, and literacy, for example. We don't currently have enough detail to know how the administration plans to structure their reauthorization proposals to spend these funds, and how and where early childhood will be included in those proposals. The department has suggested that there is a place for early childhood within each of the 9 program areas, but there is currently limited information available on what that may mean in new legislation. There are several areas that they propose that do have specific implications for programs for young children. A new $250 million Striving Readers Literacy Program would consolidate a number of existing programs into a comprehensive birth through high school literacy grant program, of which 15% of the funds available to state educational agencies would have to be used for serving children birth to kindergarten age. The consolidation into a literacy grant eliminates the Even Start Family Literacy Program. Another area of consolidation would reform the 21st Century Community Learning Center after-school program, but provide flat funding at $1.66 billion. This area of consolidation would also include the Promised Neighborhoods Initiative and would increase that program by $210 million to create place-based initiatives for reform across the country. The budget also proposes to expand the Race to the Top grant and proposes that the competition be open to local school districts, not just states. At this time, 40 states and the District of Columbia have submitted grant applications for Race to the Top with varying degrees of attention to investments in high-quality early childhood programs reflected in those grant applications. Now Helen will tell us the next steps to make these investments real for children and families.
Thanks, Danielle. First, we have to remember that this is a budget proposal from the administration, and the Congress has to pass their own budget plan. This is the administration's outline. That will happen between now and April or May, and it's important that we begin to make it clear that these investments are needed and must be a priority for everyone in Congress. After Congress passes their budget agreement, they will move forward with appropriations. This is where most of our funding comes from and where we will have to make a very strong case in order to get the full $1.6 billion for CCDBG and the $989 million for Head Start and Early Head Start. That process starts early in the spring with individual members talking to Chairman Obi and Harkin about their priorities. If Child Care and Head Start are not on members' priority lists, they will not receive new funding. It's important that you start collecting stories, videos, and pictures of children, families, and providers, and start now to tell your member of Congress how important high-quality early childhood programs are to the success of low-income parents and their children and communities. At the same time, we expect that the Early Learning Challenge Fund will move in the Senate. We hope that the Senate will introduce a bill in the next few weeks and vote fairly quickly through a process that they call reconciliation. There will be a very small window in which you will need to tell senators to vote for the bill. We will let you know when that is and be sure that you have the information you need to make the case. That process will start early with members of Congress weighing in. This is the process on appropriations before the budget process is complete. We all know that this is confusing and a lot of programs and a lot of work. We will be developing a calendar of actions that will be on the NWLC website and others to help you plan for each phase and to highlight opportunities to work with members in district offices or in Washington. Let's open this up to questions.
Great. Thank you, Helen. First, let me remind our listeners that we have materials describing the fiscal 2011 budget proposals on both organization websites, and those addresses are CLASP.org, CLASP.org, and NWLC.org, and they will continue to be updated as needed. If you would like to ask a question, please email your question to me at dewen@clasp.org at this time. And Helen, we've already gotten many questions. And for the first one, I would like you to talk again about the difference between discretionary money and mandatory money. And we've gotten a couple of questions asking, does mandatory mean we won't have to keep asking for it? How do we get mandatory? And we've mentioned it in both CCDBG and in the Early Learning Challenge Fund. So can you talk about both of those?
Sure, and it's actually a different process. CCDBG is a very unusual program, and it's because it's funded with discretionary and mandatory funds. It goes way back to when President Reagan did welfare reform, so I won't bore you. But the discretionary dollars are actually the dollars that we got increased in ARRA. They are dollars that you ask for every year, and you ask the Labor, Health, and Human Services and Education Appropriations Subcommittee, and they don't have a match, and you get them every year. The mandatory dollars are set for 5 years. They do have a match. They have usually been set tied to a TANF reauthorization. This year, it's not for certain. It's at all that there'll be a TANF reauthorization, and we'll be working to try to find opportunities to get the mandatory dollars increased. The committees that work on mandatory funding for CCDBG are the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee. They are not the Appropriations Committee. It is a different group of members, and you have to find a legislative vehicle to increase the mandatory dollars. That won't be your job, but we will definitely keep you posted on our progress. The mandatory dollars in the state early learning challenge grants are a little different. The funding for those dollars has already been identified through the savings achieved in the student loan bill that Congress passed, that the House passed last year. Those savings are already identified. So the approximately $9 billion over 10 years that we need for the early learning challenge funds would be automatically available, or a similar amount, once the Senate passes the SAFRA bill and the two sides conference. So that money is more in the bag. The child care mandatory money, we're going to all have to do a lot of work on. And, you know, we have to ensure that the challenge grants pass, too. But once they pass, the money will flow.
And Helen, you've talked about the timing of the Challenge Fund. What is the timing for CCDBG reauthorization?
Well, we're going to have to work hard on making that one a reality. The committees that reauthorize CCDBG are the Help Committee in the Senate, the Ed and Labor Committee in the House. They have committed, as the administration has, to work on the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which, as you know, Danielle talked about the budget, you realize involves many, many changes. They're also, the Ed and Labor Committee is working on the child nutrition reauthorization and several other reauthorizations. So we are going to have to push hard to encourage those committees to take the signal from the administration and move a CCDBG reauthorization. We can't give you the exact timing, but obviously if it happens this year, it has to happen before they leave for the November elections.
Great. We have had a couple of questions about the ARRA funding, so let me see if I can answer those. One question was, how long did states have to spend the child care dollars under ARRA? And the answer is that they have 2 years 2 years to obligate those dollars and one additional year to expend them, and that's a difference in federal rules. Basically, it means by the end of this year, fiscal year 2010, they have to say how they're going to spend the money, and then they have another year to actually get them out the door, and that requires them to do contracts and make agreements to spend the money. On the Head Start money, there's only the 2 years to spend the money, and it has to be done by fiscal year, the end of this fiscal year. And Head Start has certainly gone most of the way towards spending that money, with the caveat that they still have almost all of the $100 million to spend on the State Early Childhood Advisory Council. So again, we urge states to make sure that you're putting in those proposals. Right now, only Pennsylvania and one other state have been funded, although I know a bunch of states are in the process of submitting applications. Helen, did you want to add something?
No, that says it all.
Okay. Another question we've gotten about early learning challenge grants would be to explain once again why I talked about them within the Department of Education and what the co-location or the co-administration of the program we think is going to look like. And Helen, can you start with that one?
Well, the you have to place money somewhere in some agency's budget, even though this is going to be a program that is expected to be jointly operated. So the money sits in the Department of Education. Remember, the money comes from a refocusing of the student loan program, which is also in the Department of Education. There have been many, many meetings, and there will be many, many more between Joan Lombardi and Jacqueline Jones, who will be working on the implementation of the Early Learning Challenge grants, and it will be a shared venture. We're certain of that. But the program has to rest somewhere.
And Helen, can you tell folks what we know about who will be able to get those funds? Will it only be state departments of education?
Actually, Danielle, you can answer that. I'm not 100% certain.
Well, my understanding of what the legislation is that the governors will say which agency.
Right,
but
that's
because
right.
It's only in the House bill, we're not entirely sure, but we think that's the intent. So even though it's going through the federal Department of Education, it is not targeted to state education agencies only.
Forgive me. I haven't looked at it since September.
That's all right, Helen. We know you have a lot going on. We have a question about, Helen, if you can talk very specifically about how the ARRA funding got continued or discontinued in the President's proposal and what the relationship is of the 1.6 to the 2 and the 989 to the 2.1, and if you can explain that to people.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, let me say that as advocates, you've done a very good job because we started out with almost a $5 billion increase in early childhood in ARRA, and it was very important to be there to get the money in this year's budget. As soon as we got the IRA money, we heard from you that, oh, my goodness, what if we lose the IRA money? So the National Advocates worked as a team to make sure that that increasing investments in child care and Head Start and early Head Start were at the top of the agenda for the FY 2011 budget. We were told just to discuss it as increasing investments and not as making IRA money permanent, but it is important to understand what happened. CCDBG received a $2 billion increase through ARRA. We would have liked to say that was $2 billion, and so you should add that much permanently, which is what we say add to the baseline. However, that money was actually seen by the administration and written this way as $1 billion would be available for fiscal year 2009, and 1 year for fiscal 1 billion for 2010. Now, a state could have chosen to obligate, you know, all their money right away, but basically they saw the CCDBG money as adding $1 billion a year to the baseline. So let's take one step at a time. So if that was seen that way, that your state had $1 billion in fiscal 09 to use and $1 billion in fiscal 2010, then we got the ARRA $1 billion continued. And there's $600 million available to support a reauthorization of CCDBG and to serve additional children. So if you want to sort of see how this measures up with ARRA, you have $1 billion. You have the CCDBG ARRA money is made permanent if we work hard again this year. And the $600 million could be available for a reauthorization. Or if a reauthorization for some reason does not occur, we will work to get that money, the share of the CCDBG increase that's mandatory anyway. We'll have to see how this goes. Head Start and received a $1 billion increase, and Early Head Start received a $1.1 billion increase. Head Start had $500 million for expansion and for improving the quality, and that money, Danielle, correct me if I'm wrong, that money was available in 2010 to maintain the children that got funded by the increase. It's a little mushy, but that's sort of the thinking. In Early Head Start, there was $500 million to begin the planning for the increase, and then there was $500 million for fiscal 2010. So the 989 allows all the children funded by the Head Start and the Early Head Start increases to continue. It basically continues the ARRA money with a little bit left over to improve quality and maybe a tiny bit for expansion. So the Head Start and Early Head Start will be able to maintain the expanded numbers of children. What the budget does not do is allow us to take the next step in quadrupling Early Head Start that the administration had promised to do. I bet that's clear as mud.
So let me just see if I can summarize for folks. In ARRA, we got $2 billion in child care, which we're sort of thinking of as $1 billion a year for 2 years. And we got $2.1 billion in Head Start, split evenly between the Head Start preschool program and the Early Head Start program. And when we look at the fiscal 11 budget, we see efforts to maintain the expansion of Head Start and Early Head Start and possibly grow it a little, make sure we do the COLA, and to maintain and to invest in CCDBG and continue to grow the program and make some quality investments with the 1.6. Does that sound about right, Helen?
Yeah.
Great. So we have a question on whether all of this expansion and change and the Early Learning Challenge Fund and the reauthorization priorities, what are the implications of that for family, friend, and neighbor caregivers and families that need those caregivers because they work shifts and nights and weekends? And Helen, do you want to start with an answer to that?
Basically, the CCDBG is available to a range of providers that parents choose, and nothing in the budget implies a change in that.
Great. We have a question about the home visiting funds, and I want to be really clear. We didn't talk about home visiting because it's part of the healthcare reform proposals that are still moving forward in Congress, and the budget excluded a lot of things related to healthcare reform just because they don't know what's going to happen. But it is our knowledge and understanding that the home visiting program that the President proposed last year is still in the healthcare reform bill and is moving forward, and we hope that we'll have something to say about that as the healthcare reform bills are all voted on. So don't give up hope on home visiting. We think it's still there, and we think there's going to be funds for it as we learn more about what the future of healthcare reform is. Helen, we have a question about the CCDBG reauthorization priorities that you quoted from the administration talk a lot about improving quality. And people are wondering whether there's any definition of quality or whether we've heard any conversations about what quality means. Is that quality rating systems? Is it accreditation? Is it some class, Eckers, some other scale? Can you just address what we think we know or don't?
I think we don't. I think if you look at the challenge funds that the administration is very interested in expanding QRIS, I think if you look at the agenda, which is on our website for affordable, high-quality child care, there's a mix of strategies to improve quality, starting with basic improvements to health and safety to make sure that programs are monitored and inspected and the providers have minimum training, to ensuring that states have strong QRISs that include the components that are in the Early Challenge Fund. But I think we'll have to see how this plays out. Clearly, we're seeing themes that are similar to the Challenge Fund and similar to the agenda for affordable, high-quality child care. Even if you look at minimizing the disruptions to children's development and learning, we all keep talking about a one-year eligibility redetermination period, not based on income, and you could surmise that that's that's what they are referring to. But this is going to play out over the year, and we will all be working on it and keep you posted.
We've had a couple of questions just generally around reauthorization, and I just want to emphasize something Helen said earlier. As far as we know, there has not yet been a proposal to change things like tribe and territory set-aside, so those stay, as far as we know, those will stay the same within at least the distribution of these funds within the budget. The supplanting language is not proposed to be changed within this budget proposal, and the state match is not proposed to be changed within this budget proposal. All of those things could change as we move forward with reauthorization actual legislative language, but we don't have any of that yet. So the FY 2011 budget doesn't propose changing any of those things. Helen, we have a question which we've been asked lots of times. Do we have any sense yet of how many states will be eligible for the challenge funds, given that the president put about $9 billion over 10 years on the table?
That's a good question. Some days people tell you 3, and some days they tell you 5. We think that there are a number of states that believe that they would meet the criteria for a pathway grant. And so we think that people should apply for we would urge states to apply for a pathway or a development grant, depending on where you think you fall on the continuum, and to be hopeful.
We have a question about what happened to TANF in the president's proposal. And the president's budget proposal calls for an additional $2.5 billion for the TANF Emergency Fund in 2011. Some of you may know that the Recovery Act funded the program at $5 billion over fiscal year 2009 and 10. The proposal in the budget not only expands the money available, but also expands the allowable uses of the emergency fund. CLASP has written about that on our website under temporary assistance, and I urge folks to look at it. In addition, the budget proposal does an extension of the FMAP provisions that were in ERA for about 6 months. So there is recognition within the proposal that states are still having trouble and that they still need fiscal relief for some time to come. So I hope that folks will look at that information about TANF, because that has implications both within childcare and in serving low-income working families. We have a couple of questions about related programs. Helen, can you first start by talking about whether the budget says anything about funding for childcare facilities? Because we know that's a big issue in our field.
No, it doesn't actually. There is a childcare facilities bill that has been introduced, but it hasn't been considered or enacted. So there's actually not a program or place to put funding for facilities, a specific program or place. Obviously, there are places in the Department of Education that might be support facilities or in promised neighborhoods, but the budget does not say anything specific about child care facilities.
Okay. We also had a question about the campus program and what happened with that. Can you talk a little bit about what campus is for those who may not know and what the budget said?
The campus program is in the Department of Ed budget, and it supports child care centers for students on campuses, and there is $16 million, which is keeps the program at current funding with no increase proposed in the budget.
And Helen, is there anything within CCDBG reauthorization that would change the rules for students in going to college or getting education to be eligible?
No. Just as Danielle said, in terms of supplanting, in terms of maintenance, in terms of match, there is nothing in the budget that changes anything currently about how CCDBG operates and who is eligible.
We had a question about whether funding for McKinney-Vento is in the proposal from the administration and whether any of the consolidation will affect that. I can tell you that McKinney-Vento itself, which is the program serving homeless children, making sure they get access to their local education programs, is flat funded at $65 million. I didn't see anything in the consolidation language about McKinney-Vento. That doesn't mean that it won't be pulled into some of those consolidated programs. As I said, in talking about the Department of Education budget, there is still a lot of unknown about the Department of Education proposal and how it will play out, and we fully expect that the department will put out some fairly significant and comprehensive proposals for reauthorization of ESEA in the next month or so, and we hope that those will address a lot of these questions, both for infants and toddlers and preschool-aged children, as well as for the K-12 system that is funded already. Let's see. We have a question about the Early Childhood Advisory Councils and the funding that is currently available and why it will go away. Let me see if I can start on that one. The 2007 reauthorization of Head Start created the Early Childhood Advisory Councils, but did not provide the funding. When the ARA legislation passed last year, it set aside $100 million in the Head Start money to allow states to create Early Childhood Advisory Councils. It is not competitive in the sense that some states will get one, some states won't, but it does require states to fill out an application and send it into the Office of Head Start before the end of this fiscal year, which is September 30th, 2010. If a state doesn't apply for an Early Childhood Advisory Council grant and there is money left over, it's our understanding the money will just go away and we will lose it. I think that would be a huge lost opportunity for states because the governor can name an existing advisory council or can create a new one. There is much flexibility in how to in how states can apply for the money. I know I've heard from a number of states that they're concerned about the match that's required, but the Office of Head Start has given a lot of flexibility to how states can use existing expenditures to meet that match, and I would encourage folks to look at their FAQs to find out what they can do if they're having trouble with that. So I hope that people will help their states apply for those dollars so that we don't lose that $100 million. We have a question about Even Start and whether we know why the elimination was proposed and how it's being combined with other programs. For many years now, Even Start has been proposed to be eliminated. There were some evaluations which were controversial. The money is very diluted. It's a family literacy program, and lots of folks don't have a real sense of what that does. We know from information from states and communities that Even Start has been incredible value to families, particularly second language families, in learning English and helping their children get access to early childhood programs. What we've been told by the Department of Education is that the family literacy component of Even Start is being folded into their new literacy grant program, and that they have placed a focus on early literacy with the 15% set aside. And so what I would expect, although again we don't know, is that when they write the guidance and regulation for that program and those applications for states and local education agencies, that they will clearly say family literacy is an important component. You need to think about how family literacy will be included. But again, that's something we don't fully know at this time. We've had a question, Helen, about the Promise Neighborhoods and whether we can describe them to folks. And you want to take a shot at that one?
The Promise Neighborhoods, if any of you have watched our friend Jeff Canada's work in New York, are based on the idea of a comprehensive strategy where you would sweep a neighborhood and provide a range of services to families and children, starting with infants and very, very strong improved schools in order to help low-income children get a stronger start. They're extremely comprehensive, and they're seeing good results in New York, and the administration is anxious to expand this very, very innovative and ambitious concept.
And again,
they definitely the Jeff Canada's program includes preschool, an all-day pre-K program for four-year-olds, and a baby college with an intensive support to expectant parents and parents with newborns.
Helen, we're getting a number of questions about state match within the Challenge Fund. I think folks are recognizing where their states are in terms of limited resources. Can you talk about what we know about investments that will be required?
Yes. The Challenge Grant does require state match. However, there is language that indicates there would be some flexibility around a state match. I think everybody recognizes that these are very challenging times for states, and no one wants this money to sit unused because of the lack of a state match. So there are there's some parachutes around the state match in the challenge grants, and then we'll have to see what the guidelines and regulations look like.
And again, we have no idea what those will look like because we haven't gotten a bill out of the Senate and on the President's desk yet. Let me see. We have another question, Helen, about again, trying to understand the relationship of the Head Start money specifically to the number of children that were served in the ARRA fund. And can you just again talk about whether we think there is money for expansion in the 989?
If there is any money for expansion, it's for a very small number of children. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
We haven't run the formulas yet. The formulas are now quite complicated, but the bulk of money will go to preserve the children who got funded under ARRA.
Okay. I have a question, Helen. You mentioned in your comments about the Child Care Block Grant that some of the quality money was increased, and we have some folks who are wondering how that relates to the 4% set aside and what the increase means for quality investments.
Well, it takes a year to describe CCDBG. CCDBG in the statute has a minimum 4% quality set aside. Over the years, in order to get additional money into CCDBG and into quality, we got the Appropriations Committee, remember the ones that decide every year, to add additional money for quality on top of the 4%. That's why we originally at the end of the Clinton years had 173 or 171 for general quality and about 100 million for infants and toddlers. And then we had quality set aside for general quality and for infants and toddlers on ARRA. So what the president's budget proposal would do is increase those set asides in appropriations, both for quality and infant and toddler. The 4% would remain the same. And at this point, there would be no direction to the states as how to use those funds. They could continue to use those funds as they've been using them. They could use them for professional development. They could use them for quality rating systems for infant-toddler specialists. There isn't any particular direction as how they have to be used at this stage.
And it's an increase overall, correct?
It is an increase overall. It's positive.
It's all good. Helen, we have another question about FFN care and whether that quality money can be used for those providers.
Quality money is now used to support FFN providers, and there's nothing in the budget that indicates otherwise.
Okay. At this time, I do not have any other questions.
Oh,
for
I have
us.
One more.
Go ahead.
I have a question that somehow didn't get to you that says, that asks how people might coordinate their state budgets to preserve services if states are proposing cutbacks in anticipation of increased CCDBG funds, and when would the CCDBG funds be available? We know that that technically fiscal year 2011 dollars are available on October 1st. Often the budget is not finished by then, but that is when states would have, the money would be available as of October 1st. You know, it's hard to guide you as to how to, coordinate your state budgets. If your state is proposing a large cut, I'm not sure I would say, well, don't worry, the feds will make up for this. I think you have to fight hard against any state cuts in early childhood and fight hard, which we'll talk about in a minute, for the new federal dollars. Remember, this is just a budget. We haven't seen the money yet. Fat lady hasn't sung. And so I'm not sure I would say to your state legislators, this is okay, because the federal money will be coming. I would wage a strong fight on both ends.
Great. So we know that the big important message here is that the president has proposed $1.6 billion increase in the Child Care Development Block Grant and $989 million in Head Start and Early Head Start. So Helen, sum up for us. What are the immediate next steps to make sure that money goes to families?
Well, there's actually three things that we need to do around early childhood immediately. And if all the 1,100 people who may not be on the call but who signed up for it join forces and roll up their sleeves, we should be in good shape. The first thing that you can all do is write or email your members of Congress, your senators, and your representatives, and urge them to put Head Start and CCDBG increases into their appropriations request. It's also going to be time soon for the Washington's birthday, the presidential congressional recess in a week. make appointments for your members, to see your members when they come home and give them this message. You can urge your members to co-sponsor the Access to Nutritious Meals Act of 2009. Senator Gillibrand and Representative Tonko have introduced identical bills in the Senate and House to provide more benefits under the Child and Adult Care Food Program for children in child care centers and family child care homes, and to reduce the onerous paperwork in this program. Urge your members to co-sponsor these bills. It's simple because it's the same name in the House and the Senate. And the last thing to do, which is also an easy step, is if you're a national, state, or local organization and you haven't yet signed on to the letter that we have posted on our website supporting the Early Learning Challenge Fund, please sign on so when we send that letter to the Senate, we will show enormous support for this important new program.
Great. Thank you, Helen. That's all we have time for at this moment. Thank you for everyone for joining us today. Both a written transcript and an audio file of this phone call will be available on both of our websites, as will additional information about the budget and appropriations processes as we move forward. That will be CLASP.org and NWLC.org. If you have additional questions, please feel free to send them to either one of us. This is me at Danielle Ewen at dewen@clasp.org or Helen at hblank@nwlc.org. We will answer them to the best of our ability, and we hope you all have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thanks.